This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I hope you had a chance this week to tune into the programs. It's such an exciting time of the church year. At least for me personally, I know the entire year is a great year to walk through the Passion, you know, the whole Passion, Death, Life, Resurrection of Jesus. The church takes us through it and takes us by the hand and helps really to, through the rhythm of our prayer, as the church, as a church, as the body of Christ, pray together, as we worship the Lord together, as we hear the readings, as we meditate on them and hear the message proclaimed to us every weekend. And then, you know, our own study of God's Word, it shapes our mind and our heart. But in this season in particular, from Easter, from the resurrection of our Lord, all the way to Pentecost, is you just see the impact, unfolding of the life of the early church. That group of brothers and sisters that had come to experience and encounter the living Jesus Christ and to enter his church. And what was the life of the early church like? It's really important for us to be able to see it and to understand. And as we look at the life of the apostles and the communities that were gathering around them, it gives us insight. There's lots of things there to see. To no one's surprise, it wasn't perfect. Why? Because the Christian community is inhabited by sinful people like me. The church is, as many people have said, it's not a museum of saints, it's a hospital for sinners. We're on the way. We've been rescued, redeemed, ransomed, brought out of the world, and brought into an entirely new way of life in Christ. This whole week I've been looking at, in particular, the preaching of the apostles right after or on the day of Pentecost, and then the healing of the blind man and the preaching of Jesus being risen and Lord, and how it upset the rulers of the people who were deeply threatened by the apostles. This was radical. The message was absolutely radical. The life they were living was radical. And the religious leaders in particular experienced it as a threat. So they told them to stop. And Peter and the apostles said, we can't stop. We have to proclaim the truth. And they simply pressed in more fully to fulfilling their mission as servants of the Lord. That's where I was yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune in to yesterday's program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Our programs are all archived there. You can listen to them right there on your computer, download them, put them on your iPod. One of the things that jumped out at me that I hadn't paid a lot of attention to in the past in that particular reading was that as the apostles gathered with the brothers and sisters after they had been threatened and been read the riot act by the religious leaders and warned, they came together and they didn't huddle together in fear and trembling and cowering because of the religious leaders and the powerful people didn't like them. Instead, they just prayed for more boldness. They said they're not surprised. They knew the prophetic word was being fulfilled in their midst, the prophetic word that the world, the religious leaders, that everyone would resist the coming of the kingdom, would resist the authority of the Lord. They can't stop it, but they will resist it. And because you represent the king, you're going to experience their resistance. It's going to come against you. And Jesus made it really clear. Now, he said, if you want to be in my kingdom, you want to become my, that means you want to become my disciple. You know and you understand, don't you, that to be my disciple means that you live now for me and for my vision, mission, goals, and purpose in the world. That becomes first in your life. Doesn't matter if you're married, single, whether you're a priest, layman, whatever you are, whether you're a carpenter, whether you're a mother, whatever you are, my will, my kingdom is number one. My purpose for you is number one. You, as a disciple, are my servant. You're my child. I love you, but I've called you to serve me. So the point of your life is to live for the service of another, to fulfill the Lord's priorities and the Lord's purpose. That's the whole point of life. Period. That's it. Everything else, as valuable as it is secondary. in your home, in your marriage. Your marriage is very important. Your love for your spouse is very important. It's what God's called you to do. But he's called you to love your spouse according to his will. To be the Lord's servant in that marriage. To love your spouse the way the Lord loves your spouse. And to have the kind of marriage to bring that relationship between husband and wife, between the two of you, under the lordship of Jesus. That's what a disciple does. There's nothing in your life, not even the intimacy of your own marriage, is sealed off from the Lord. There's no private life. What I'm saying, there's no dimension of your life that's not under his rule and his reign. There's nothing in your life that you don't want to, as his servant, as his child, to bring under his rule and reign. Because you know that's the way to truth, to freedom, to glorifying God. So even that, even every dimension of your relationship with your spouse, you ask the question, Lord, what pleases you? How can I relate to my husband? How can I relate to my wife in the way that pleases and honors you? Lord, how can we raise our children? What kind of home can we have? Lord, we want our home to be under your lordship. Our home, our literally our property, what you've given to us here, all our gifts and our talents and our money, whatever we have, it's at your service, Lord. It's not ours, it's yours. Whatever you'd like, Lord, how can we serve you? How can we advance the kingdom of God? How can our home become a temple? How can our children, Lord, come under your lordship? How do we do it? Show us, Lord. Empower us. That's the heart of an apostle, a disciple. And so that's where these brothers and sisters went. And they understood the driving mission for everybody was the salvation of souls and the glory of God. That's it. One of the reasons the church is in such a weak position today, it's what I mean by weak. I don't mean like powerful armies, and I just mean having so little impact. The fundamental reason, I believe, is we don't have this heart. We don't have this priority. We're not living for the master, first of all. We're not looking to please him. We're not zealous for the salvation of souls. We're filled with presumption and indifference and pleasure-seeking and name it. We're lukewarm. We're lukewarm. So many of us. And the data bears that out. We don't live any differently. Most of the baptized don't live any differently than people who don't even know Christ. They're conformed to the world. And therefore, they have no light, they have no power, they have no passion. I mean, imagine. Can you imagine yourself praying like St. Peter and the brothers and sisters gathered with him after they'd been threatened by people who had real power who said, stop talking about him. Stop talking about Jesus. Could you imagine yourself gathering with brothers and sisters and saying, wow, this is just what Jesus said would happen. Let's pray more. Let's pray for more boldness. Let's ask the Lord to use us even more so we can serve him more fully. Let's see the people even who are threatening us come to know Jesus and to love him and to be saved. Is that even on our radar? I venture to say for most Catholics, not even on our radar. So that was the life of the church. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to form in all of us. And in the yesterday's reading, or midweek, actually on Wednesday, I didn't get to it, but chapter 5 of Acts, the drama between the religious leaders and the apostles continues because they kept proclaiming it. And so the religious leaders and the powers that be got angrier and angrier. It says, the high priest rose up and all his companions, that is the party of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They were filled with jealousy because the people were really began to follow the apostles. They saw the signs and wonders. They saw these uneducated men, they called them. They said, who are you people? You're uneducated. You have no education. You have no credentials. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? And to their great surprise, they work signs and wonders. Their word came forward with great authority, love, and compassion, but with truth. And what ended up happening? People got saved, as it were. People were healed. People were delivered. People repented. People came to the waters of baptism. People entered the church. They entered the communion under the apostles' instruction. They fed at the table of the Eucharist. All of that happened. And the religious leaders got jealous, and so they laid hands upon the apostles. They said they put them in jail, in a public jail. But during the night, the reading says, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison and led them out and said, go and take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life. That's evangelization. Go into the temple area. Go where people are. And tell the people you meet. When it's appropriate, when the door is open, look for the opportunities. Tell them what? Tell them everything about this life. The Christian community was referred to in the Acts of the Apostles a number of times as the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Go tell them there's a way home. There's one way home. It's Jesus Christ. He's the doorway. He's the gateway. He's the pathway. He's the road. Go tell everybody. Anybody who wants to come can come. He's the way. And the way is a way of life. You enter into, when you become a Christian, it's not just I've confessed Jesus with my lips, or I've read four spiritual laws, or I've... No. The confession of Jesus and baptism, repentance, is the beginning. And you're baptized into his people, into the church, into the communion of the messianic community under the rule of the Lord. You enter that community of people who have turned their backs on their own radical autonomy and independence, and they've come under the lordship of Jesus, one heart at a time, and then in that same bending low and saying yes to coming under his lordship, we find ourselves in communion with others who've done the same thing. And we're a community of people under the authority of the Lord and under the authority of the apostles he's established. That's the church. And we live a distinct way of life. Now, we've lost that in so many ways in the church today. As I said, people living no differently than people in the world. Well, what do we mean? Well, are we devoted to the apostles' instruction? Are we living the communal life, real koinonia, shared lives, sharing what resources we have, sharing our time, talent, treasure with one another and with those who most need it? Are we breaking bread? Are we having good fellowship together? Are we gathering around the table of the Lord in Eucharist? Are we in the habit of daily prayer together? What does our life look like? The angel that opened the door, the Lord opened the door, the angel of the Lord, and said, now go tell them about this life. If we're not living a life, brothers and sisters, really living in communion with the Holy Spirit, one another, we don't have anything to talk about. That's one of the reasons we don't talk about it. And the reason we don't have it is because we don't want it. I think it's an important reflection. It's kind of a heavy one to leave at the end of the week, but we've got to come to terms with that. We don't have what the apostles have because we don't want it. That's part of it, anyway. Let's reflect on that over the weekend. We'll take this up again on Monday. God bless you. Have a good weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewministries.net.